nice pot shots at, and you can see old Dan taking pot shots at them on the front pages of the Sentinel, or the Sentinel, as they call themselves, the Sunday Sentinel today. Bad vibes is the two-thirds page article that parrots the merchant line. There's a couple of paragraphs in response from people on the streets and some from homeless service providers. But of course, there's no analysis of the endless harassment of people downtown by the police and the hosts, the gentrification move, the huge upsurge in rents, whether this stupid fence classical music onslaught on people in front of New Leaf has actually increased or decreased business, even just in terms of its own objectives. What's happened with the Sushi Now Alibaba's Cafe offensive to get rid of the undesirables? You don't get that kind of information in the Sentinel. You can't even find, in spite of the fact that I keep bringing it to this dear writer's attention, Dan Whitebread, or Dan White as he calls himself, that the rather obvious and glaring stat that there are less than 40, space for 40 people every night in Santa Cruz emergency shelters, and there are more than 1,500 homeless people, 1,000 to 2,000 is the estimate, in the city every night who are homeless without lodging. The rest face $54 tickets or have to sleep in public places or find hidden private places. Dan White apparently feels this isn't newsworthy. It's more important to talk about how the merchants want to get rid of all the folks downtown and focus on a few violent incidents that have happened. And that's what he does. And then he has an interesting little article about Mayor Crone, who one would have hoped would have known better. But of course, I suppose it's looking at his record the first 2 years, you can predict what he did and what he is doing now. There's a little story on page 8, actually page 10 of the Sunday Sentinel. Mayor cites progress, lists possible solutions. City could do more to improve downtown's image, Crone says. This is the guy who set up the task force, the Homeless Issues Task Force, which completely diverted activists from doing anything about the council's failure to repeal the sleeping ban and amend the camping ordinance, which is really the key issue. If you can't sleep, you can't do much of anything else. So, and if you keep that kind of criminalization in play, then you can keep all kinds of other criminalizations in play as well. If that basic travesty against human dignity is accepted, then certainly all the other travesties sort of follow right along. Because after all, if they're second-class citizens, who cares what happens to homeless people? You know, we can all wring our hands and talk about homeless services, and gee, we don't have the fourth vote, and why can't we persuade dear former Mayor Sugar to do the kinds of things he said he was going to do and started to do in his first term? But the fact of the matter is, nothing's going to happen until we all join hands and start taking the action that produces the facilities that were produced in Portland, Isla Vista, and Seattle, that is to say, homeless encampments, tent cities, which actually then put pressure on politicians to start dealing with broader issues like affordable housing and jobs and decriminalization of the homeless, because they are faced with de facto realities of homeless people in self-supporting communities, as Camp Paradise did last year, in spite of questionable authoritarian leadership and other problems that developed and have now come to a head, apparently, out at Camp Paradise. There was still an alternative that was developing where homeless people didn't merely just try to hide out or get out, the Rotkin solution. We'll be seeing more of him, unfortunately, as the city council race develops. But they formed their own self-protective communities. And they went to the community for support, the broader community, and they got it. And this frightened the city council into leaving them alone, although the police did go in and give them tickets. But they didn't try the massive sweeps that they would have done if the community hadn't supported them. They waited for the river to do it, and indeed there are some at Camp Paradise who say that this happened through some intentional manipulation of the water upstream. I have no idea. But I know that the city did not follow through on its promise to do the site reports for where Camp Paradise could go when it moved from the river. Instead, Camp Paradise had to scramble for itself. It found a church on the outskirts of town, but it's a much diminished capacity. They only have 12 people there that are allowed according to Dirt Claw, who I talked to a couple days ago. And, you know, it isn't the 60, 50, 70 people that, at its height, Camp Paradise was able to accommodate back in the summer and fall of last year. This is a place that the Homeless Services Center was sending people to because it had, as it has now, no place for people to sleep. Because Mayor Crone, and then before him Mayor Fitzmaurice, and before him Mayor Sugar, all these people, and before him Mayor Scott, and before her, actually it was Mayor Byers, before Byers, Scott, before Scott, Matthews, Rotkin, all ignored this situation. And this same sad, sorry cast of council members will be coming back to get your votes. It's going to be like choosing between different kinds of fecal matter, I'm afraid. It's what it looks like to me. You know, it's just us all dressed up and pretty and ready to roll and talking real nice and promising all kinds of stuff. That's what we're going to be facing in this election. But this article in today's Sentinel, for those who haven't got $1.50 to spend on the Sentinel, reads as follows. Some downtown merchants say city leaders have been sitting on their hands while vagrants run roughshod over downtown. Thanks, Dan. Mayor Christopher, that's the writer, Dan White. Mayor Christopher Crone answers with a three-page statement, which I haven't seen, detailing his responses to social problems on Pacific Avenue and what the city has done to improve downtown during the past year. He said the city is working hard to improve downtown, but offered several suggestions for making it better. Filling the vacant, unattractive Earthquake Hole property owned by Louis Rittenhouse at Church Street and Pacific Avenue, attracting a flagship department store to the city's main shopping drag, getting a new downtown hotel, experimenting with a car-free, all-pedestrian section of Pacific Avenue. And I wish I had that document with me. It would be nice if Crone actually sent this document to homeless activists so they could review it, support it, give some constructive criticism to it. But Crone prefers to arrest homeless activists at City Council when Mayor Fitzmaurice snaps his fingers. It is actually Mayor Fitzmaurice, even though it's really Mayor Crone, because it's the Fitzmaurice decorum rules in effect. Fitzmaurice may be losing some of his influence with Crone slapped on the hand with a federal lawsuit that I've been working on, that was filed on March 26th because of the Heil-Crone arrest of March 12th, where I was arrested for this silent gesture at City Council. But I think Fitzmaurice has a lot of power still in the council, particularly since the Green Party gurus are still doing nothing to hold him or make him accountable. There's more chatter and formal process stuff going on in the, I don't know, the steering committee working group or whatever it is, but the fact is that there's no clear demonstrations, direct actions, strong statements from the Green Party that are out there in a way that would embarrass or impact Fitzmaurice and Porter and the other council members who have sold out the homeless community and the broader progressive community. And this is very serious for a number of reasons, because when progressives betray progressives, if that's one way of considering what Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar have done, when they betray their promises to the poor people, to the renters, then we have to spend all our time in this internecine fighting to clean our own house out, because we got a bunch of, what do you want to say it, liars, cowards? I mean, these are sort of charged words. You know, people are not fulfilling their commitments day after day, month after month. And of course, then they're going to start screaming, oh, vote for us or the conservatives will come back in, and that'll be worse. You know, you're stuck with the same old story with, you know, that you have with national politics, where it's, God, I can't even remember the name of the vice president, Gore, Brown, whether it's, you know, Bush or Gore, it's incredible. So you have to instead vote for the real alternatives. You have to instead, and that doesn't mean voting on election day, it means going downtown and making your voice heard when Dan White decides to continue blasting his essentially bigoted merchant propaganda, which attacks homeless people, young people, folks outside, rather than dealing with the real issues that are out there, which is that they aren't willing to talk to the folks out there. They're just going to start, they'll operate through their little merchant associations and they'll operate through the police department and conservative staff and the Parks and Rec, get rid of the benches, engage in obnoxious and stupid music, try to get new laws that criminalize people more, instead of going out on the streets and talking to the groups of people that are involved, and instead of holding public meetings to find some solutions, instead of, well, Crone doesn't have, he has a couple of ideas here which might have been good if they'd been proposed and acted on 3 years ago, and they still might be good if they're acted upon, you know, quick, and if he actually stands up and leads, but it looks like he's just, you know, a gutless marionette who is responding to criticism from, you know, from the merchants. That's all he's doing. He doesn't have his own proactive initiatives. He's instead simply reacting. Attracting a flagship department store to the city's main shopping drag. This is an endless thing that has been proposed by numerous mayors. Getting a new downtown hotel. SROs would be good for people who are poor. You know, that's what they need. They need something like the old St. George. Experimenting with a car-free, all-pedestrian section of Pacific Avenue. This is something that Bob LaMonica and others recently, Cassandra and Amy, the bedsheet bandistas who've been challenging the Caltrans policy with flags on the freeways and saying you've got a right to have other messages too. They proposed downtown, taking back the downtown and opening it up to everybody. By closing it off for cars, giving everybody more space. I mean, I even heard people like Matisse Selman, who is taking me to court on a citizen's arrest in June for blocking the sidewalk, and a bogus arrest that unfortunately he will be sued for in federal court, I believe, assuming this attorney follows through on his willingness to do this. But even Matisse has suggested that there be some other kind of initiatives downtown, you know, some kind of crafts fair area where merchants can be. We don't see any action, though, from the city council on this. And I guess the answer here is direct action from us. That's what we really need to do to make these changes. Creative, peaceful, strong, direct action from the community is what's needed here. Crone said he started thinking about the all-pedestrian section after downtown residents complained about excessive motorcycle noise late at night. Boy, it takes him a long time to start thinking about these issues, doesn't it? He said the council deserves credit for projects that have improved downtown. The private-public partnership to resurrect the Del Mar Theater. That's the Del Mar Theater giveaway to, what was it, Alan Swenson? The public gets, what, 35 days a year use of that, and the rest of the time public money goes into the pockets of private developers. This is according to Scott Graham. The opening of the teen center at Laurel Street to give teens a place to hang out without being harassed. But of course, if they show up in public places that aren't in the little segregated areas that they've been given, and they want to associate with different age groups, they get driven away, as happened at New Leaf Market, in front of New Leaf Market, as is now happening in front of Borders. Erecting the barrier at Pacific and Soquel Avenues in response to complaints about beggars and transients bothering shoppers. So if Christopher Crone is actually taking responsibility for this, and he should because he voted for it, although he initially said and tried to correct the minutes that I didn't ask for a fence, I asked for some planters instead, said Mayor Christopher Crone. It's pretty outrageous to strip the city of public space for businesses that haven't even got any business anyway, because they are essentially luxury businesses. Sushi and falafel are luxury businesses, really. And when they move into an area that is in the middle of public space, which are in public areas, and then they want to privatize them to get rid of the undesirables there, it's really, to me, insufferable, or as the Sentinel says, intolerable, although the Sentinel considers the lower class folks intolerable. It wants to gentrify the city. That's something you and I cannot allow and should not allow, must not allow, if we want Santa Cruz to continue even with the memory of what it has been. If you want to join this conversation, the phone number here is 427-3772, 427-3772. And if you don't want to talk on air, but you have a message for me or some thoughts you want to pass on, the number off air is an easy number to remember. It's 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, 423-4833. You can call that number now. It's a 24-hour voicemail. If you want to get involved in activism around these issues, we're talking about establishing bench guards and possibly setting up an endangered bench society to make sure that the endangered benches are preserved. After all, they're being apparently attacked by merchants, inflamed by greed and paranoia. You can also call 423-HUFF, or you can come to the HUFF meeting Wednesday at Baker's Square at 8:30 in the morning. Baker Square is a restaurant on Ocean Street at 1107 Ocean, across from Beach City Gas. Easy to find. Free coffee if you can't afford it. Bring your thoughts, bring your ideas, bring your tickets. We could talk about that too. We're trying to help folks who are ensconced with tickets. Speaking of tickets, come in! I think we have a knock at the door. Ah, it's the FCC. Come in, FCC. Actually, it's not. It's Attorney Chris Fredrickson, who has just arrived, fresh from perhaps the Quaker services, or who knows what she's been up to. And she'll give her a chance to catch her breath. Take your time, Chris. We're going to take a few minutes, kind of getting ready here. I'm talking about this article in the Sunday paper, essentially a small story after a huge story smearing folks downtown and demanding that there be all kinds of new laws to criminalize those grubby, homeless, hippie types. Crone is suggesting some responses, which apparently there are three pages of them, so I've got to go check that out. And on Thursday, I'll be giving you folks out there some more specifics on what he's putting out there, assuming I can get access to it publicly. At the same time, Crone conceded the council could be doing more. It's incumbent on the council to reach out more, to communicate more. He said he'd also like to hear more from people who use downtown. If people call me, I usually call them back and set up appointments. Both sides have to reach out a bit more. I called Chris a week ago, and for some reason, the mayor did not reach out and call me back. Chris, get on the horn. Crone also said the city should try to mediate the concerns of different factions. We're looking for a way to have all these groups to have a space on Pacific Avenue and really live together in harmony, he said. Talk is cheap. You need to actually do this. Throw a meeting, Chris. Hire a hall. Get the folks together to talk. Is it really so difficult to understand that basic concept? Simply press releases will not do it. Sorry. Doesn't work. Crone also said the city should try to mediate the concerns of different factions. We're looking for a way to have all these groups. I've read that before. The city and the Downtown Association have been slammed hard for the state of downtown bathrooms. Crone said Santa Cruz spends at least $20,000 a year to clean the 5 portable downtown toilets and more to clean the bathrooms at City Hall on Soquel Avenue and at Locust Street Garage. Well, goodness gracious, $20,000 so people can engage in the necessary human functions in private that they have to do. I mean, give me a break. That's one of those things that goes with the realities of urban living in 2002 and should have been and should be, because it's not, those porta potties are being taken out. Two of them have been removed. The third may be gone soon. And we don't have the bathrooms that Crone promised we would have. His task force is not meeting. I read last time on the air my 2-page letter to Crone on this issue, which said, where the hell is your task force? What happened to it? Now, you may say, why am I being so harsh with this mayor? And, of course, the answer is because he's the mayor. Because he's the mayor, and he's not just the mayor. He's been the mayor for 5 months. 6 months, actually, and he's been on the council for 3.5 years. So there's no excuse for not acting on these issues. And you say, well, look, the poor man is under pressure from the merchants. He's under pressure from the police. Yeah, that's true. Anybody who gets into these positions is going to be there, particularly if you don't do anything for 3.5 years. Or cave, if you cave. And that's what Crone and Sugar did originally, and that's why they're in the position they're in now. Very little legroom, very little place to go. The question really is not about Crone and Sugar. The question is about the rest of us downtown, dealing with the Downtown Association, the police department, the hosts, the courts, and, of course, the constricting budget that we're finding. What do we got here? Finishing up the article, the City and the Downtown Association have been slammed hard for the bathrooms. While some people say they now avoid downtown because of social problems, Crone said he's still a big fan of the city's colorful street culture. I don't see him down there much. My family and I are constant purveyors, supporters, and attendees of the great Morgani, the accordionist, Mr. Twister, the big bubble guy, and the marimba bands, he said in his statement. Okay, well, that's always possible, but I sure haven't seen much of him. I'm going to pass the paper to Chris so she can take a look at the disgusting headlines on page one. And the sports page is not going to be in your hands at the moment there, Chris. We're on the air. We're live. We're kicking butt. And, of course, there's a nasty editorial from the Santa Cruz Sentinel. Economic vitality must be restored downtown. Worsening social criminal problems call out for leadership. Ein Reich, ein Volk, ein Führer. What this country needs is law and order. I've heard that one before. Whose law, whose order is the question, of course. And perhaps, after Chris has given her a chance to look at that stuff, we'll move the... We have another seat for you set up here, Chris Winnan, if you want to take it, but take your time. City Council comes up in 2 days, and hopefully before the show is over, I'm going to do a brief update on that. I've been able to do a little bit of looking in the library to kind of update myself on... Sure. We're doing a little rearranging in the studio here. Let's see here. I'll go like this, like that. Yes. There we go. We'll have an update from the about the City Council meeting, which is coming up on Tuesday. And why don't we take a little breather here with a... I think we have a few more interviews. Actually, we have an interesting interview, which is rather, it's a substantial interview. Let's begin it. It speaks for itself. It's about a man who you may find outside the public library. His name is Ernie. And actually, I think we have, there's a little previous segment right before that, so here we go.
And we're in front of it's 1319 Pacific next to the Vita store. And there's a fellow who's actually doing the San Francisco number lying fully outstretched in front of the doorway with a sign, "Please help me," and a cup, sleeping, covering himself with a shirt. And it is about 10:30 at night. We're here at the library with that man about the streets, Uncle Ernie. Musician, chess player, philosopher, reader, jailbird. What the hell else are you?
What the hell else am I? I'm a musician, for God's sakes.
Yes. All right, then.
Play serious jazz piano and sing.
You don't have your piano with you, I notice.
No, but I'm working on that.
Excellent. Now, I know that when you were playing the piano up on university at the UCS, so you got heave-ho from... What, some janitorial staff? Or?
Yeah, well, I was up there fairly early in the morning when I figured I wouldn't be interfering with anyone else, but the janitor decided that they were going to decide who had a right to use the pianos and who didn't, so they called the campus police.
And what was the outcome of that case?
Well, the outcome of that case was an interesting sidestep because... I think I stood a very good chance of winning the case since there was a perjury on the actual statement of the indictment, if that's what you call it, whatever. They only alleged one thing on pain of perjury, and that one thing was a lie. So I thought I had a pretty good chance of winning the case.
But what did they allege?
They alleged that when I was asked to leave the music center, I refused to leave. I mean, this is a cop coming there. And what am I going to do? Refuse to leave? I mean, as it turned out, he arrested me anyway. But I mean, obviously, if I'm going to refuse to leave, he's going to arrest me. So there's no chance.
The officer lied in his report.
It may not have been the policeman, but the janitor. I'm not really sure how that went down, and it may have. One thought that occurred to me is it may have come from an interview of the DA with the janitor. I don't know. I don't know how they got that on the. But anyway, that was the charges that they said. We only want to say one thing on Dana Perch. That one thing was a lie.
And in fact, what happened was they didn't even take the case to trial.
That's right.
But they got some sort of administrative order.
That's right. Yeah, they got a letter from one of the assistant deans, so that they could sidestep the whole case. Because when I went to see about the trial coming up, they said, that's been vacated. And I go, vacated? What the hell does vacated mean? I said, does that mean you dropped it? No. Does that mean it's postponed? No. It's vacated. That means, like, we're not going to do anything on this unless we want it someday, you know? I guess that's what it...
Well, I think what they're saying is it's a threat. It's sort of a paper threat. What you need to do is walk on campus again with witnesses.
They're not going to risk losing that case when they got what they wanted by another means.
Well, the question is, are you going to be willing to walk on campus and do what you normally do and then say, look, I have no... there's no pending charge against me. I guess what the administrative officer is saying, that you can't be on campus.
No, he was saying that I can't be in certain buildings on campus. I can go on the campus, but there's certain buildings that I'm barred from being in.
What are those high top secret security buildings that you are barred
the
from?
Ones I want to use, the libraries, the music center.
Well, homeless people should not be allowed to use those areas. You might misuse them, and those hats, those are very unfashionable hat you wear. Peculiar looking straw hat. I have to actually commend the discretion. Who is the actual official who signed this letter?
Yeah, I got it.
He's pulling out this document now. Like, you may remember in Les Miserables, Jean Valjean pulled out his yellow passport. Well, Ernie here is pulling out his local UCSC letter. Yeah, it's not 1827 anymore. It's 2002, but apparently we have a similar deal.
It's funny. Vice Chancellor.
Take a look at this letter?
No.
It's a secret letter?
No, it's not that. It's just like, I can tell you myself what the letter stated, you know?
Okay.
It said that I wasn't allowed to go into these certain buildings, which included all the libraries. It also included the music center. It also included some other buildings that I've never been in, which maybe have pianos in them. I think Porter College was one of them. They used to have pianos at Porter College. Maybe they still do. So that's why they decided that I can't go there, because I'd want to play those pianos too or something.
Well,
I don't know.
It seemed to me that they have to have some basis other than the whim of an administrator to bar you from these buildings. I mean, it is.
Well, this was, the police informed me that they were going to get such an order as this. So it was solicited by the campus police. And apparently there was a realization that they may not win the case that they were going to have there, so they wanted to try to circumvent it, which is exactly what they did. I mean, in other words, they were supposed to try and, by process of law, obtain some kind of a ban. That was what they were doing, and instead of using a process of law, they just got an administrative action.
Well, you know,
but it isn't irreversible, so I'm working on a letter to write to this guy and to answer his letter. He wrote me a letter, so I'm going to write him a letter.
When was it dated?
His letter is a couple months ago. It's like in March.
It's more than that. I mean, for example, if the mayor who tells me I can't walk into city council, he'll arrest me, which he did. I can either accept that decree, or I can say no. This is a public meeting; it's open to me. I'm sorry, and I get arrested. But my response now is, because I was lucky enough, because two attorneys got pissed about it, is to sue in federal court, and also to ignore that in the future. And if the mayor attempts to do such a thing in the future, I myself will file a citizen's arrest against the mayor for making a false report. And similarly, if you are being accused of criminal behavior on campus, that's a false report if there's no probable cause to believe it's true.
He didn't use that. I mean, in his letter, he didn't cite any criminal behavior. That was in the court, and they were on shaky ground with that.
What basis was he? Was he simply saying he has the right to exclude any individual who is not a member of the university from the campus just on his whim?
No, of course not. He cited a lot of different things that he thought that I had done, which he considered justifying that.
Such as?
Well, one of them was saying that when I was asked to leave one time, I kicked a piece of furniture or something.
Is this a true allegation?
No. The only thing I thought of, I remembered one incident where when the library was closing, somebody said it's time to go, and I had a few things to carry, and I gathered them up, but as I was walking out, I bumped up against something, and this person turned around and gave me a dirty look as if I had done something, you know, so in other words, their back was turned, and they assumed that the noise that they heard was me kicking something rather than me bumping into something. That's all I can imagine.
Any other incidents that they alleged that... On the basis to exclude you from the...
Yes, there was another one where they said that I brought in books that were had been in the rain and were mildewed, and that I was damaging their book collection by doing that.
Did you have a library card?
No. I mean, they were my books.
You stole the books?
No. These were my books that I brought in that had been in the rain and gotten mildewed, but they said by doing that I was endangering the library collection.
So we have a case of, shall we say, felonious book association here, where we know those dirty homeless people spread diseases and fear and terror among the housed population. Here is a very typical example of homeless books probably spreading some incredible contagions.
Yeah, well, even that one had nothing to stand on, so to speak. Because it is true that I brought some books that had been wet into the library, but I put them on the floor where there was no chance of them having any contact with any other books.
Well, perhaps they constituted a trip and fall hazard to students.
Well, that was also impossible because they were underneath a chair, but they didn't allege that anyway.
I see. So in other words, you're attempting to duck your responsibilities here. You should have purchased new books and brought them into the library.
Well, they were new at one point, but they got wet and messed up.
I see. So those are two incidents. Any other incidents alleged on this letter?
Yeah, well, they also complained that people had complained about odor. And it's an interesting thing because...
Smell okay to me.
Well, here is an interesting thing because... I used to take a shower on the campus there in one of the buildings every morning, but somebody complained about that, and the police came and prevented me from, they said if I ever was caught there taking a shower, that I was going to be arrested.
So it was an inappropriate cleanliness on campus.
No, it was an inappropriate uncleanliness.
One thing or the other. Obviously, you go to both extremes.
Well, it just kind of struck me as kind of interesting the way that step one was, you know, refuse him the right to take a shower, even early in the morning. And then, after he can't take a shower, then try and exclude him from the campus for not having taken a shower.
Now, you know that HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, UCSC, has a chapter on campus.
Yeah, I did...
Contacted Steve Weiss?
I contacted the fellow, and he didn't really know exactly what to do, but he recommended a couple of people that might be sympathetic, and I wrote a letter to one of them. Actually, I wrote a letter to a woman in the dean's office, or chancellor's office. And one curious thing, I never got an answer to that letter, but I am curious as to whether this guy Vanny ever saw the letter that I sent to that woman or not.
And who is Vanny?
He's the guy that sent me this letter banning me from these buildings.
So, you, of course, are welcome to come to HUF downtown at 1107 Baker Street. That's Sherlock Holmes' address. 1107 Ocean Street, sorry.
Hey, what's the matter with Sherlock Holmes? What do you got against Sherlock Holmes?
Sherlock and I are good friends, but it's a different town, a different era, so we have to clarify.
Sure.
We don't want to send people, we have no time machine at the time, and I think you have to be well-dressed for that as well.
Man, I thought I was going to get to meet Sherlock Holmes here.
You can meet some pretty interesting characters at Baker Square, I'll tell you.
I have no doubt of that, but I mean, Sherlock Holmes was someone that I had already developed a fascination for. So.
You're probably spending too much time in the libraries, I think.
Yes. If anybody has spent more than their share of time in the library, it certainly has been me. But You know, I am in the process of writing a return letter to this guy, and I pointed out that I had used the university library over a long period of time, and that...
How long is that?
Well, over 15 years, maybe closer to 20.
What kind of work do you do in the library?
I do research work on a book that I'm working on.
What book is that?
Well, it's basically a book on European culture and philosophy. I don't want to get more specific than that.
You've published books before, written books before?
Yeah, I have 3 books that I've published already.
Can you clarify, can you give us what those titles are?
Well, you know, they were technical books on computer software technology, advanced computer software technology. Naturally, as you know, these things become obsolete rather quickly.
The last published book was?
The last published book, that was Object-Oriented Programming for the Windows Operating System.
How long ago?
Ooh, that was a while back. You know, that was when the first big release of Microsoft Windows occurred, Windows 3.0. So
70s or?
Yeah, this is like the late 80s.
And so you yourself have been without a house for how long?
I don't know, at least 5 years.
And what's your view of Santa Cruz? Worse, better, the same, different?
As compared to what?
5 years ago.
Oh no, it's really gotten worse. I mean, the real turning point was like the earthquake.
Because that was about 12 years ago.
Yes, it was. But I mean, I can't get to an intersection in this town where I can't see visibly on the sidewalk and on the street evidence of this earthquake. In other words, what I'm saying is that there's still a lot of repair work to be done. And I know that, like, there used to be some community centers in this town, such as the Loudon Nelson and also the Vets Hall was kind of a community area. But now, these are just cash cows that the county is milking, you know, renting out space by the hour. And it's really not, it's off limits for anybody that isn't paying by the hour for these spaces. And they're not really easily affordable by an individual. It usually has to be some kind of an organization or somebody who's really flush with the money to even rent them out. And so this county is raising all this money, destroying the sense of community that we had with our community centers in order to do so, but they don't seem to be spending any of that money on repairing the effects of an earthquake that happened 12 years ago. And I'm wondering what the plan is on that. Maybe you know better than I. Maybe they're planning on another earthquake rectifying the damage of the previous earthquake.
Maybe a flood or some kind of plague. We're standing here in front of the public library looking across at the Sentinel building. Do you see visible signs of the earthquake here? I don't see any damage. What am I missing?
Well, it's nighttime. It's a lot harder to see, but... you know, they're usually, we're not in an intersection, by the way, but if we were to go to the intersection, I could probably show you a lot of cracks and a lot of places where the road and the sidewalk have been shifted from the earthquake and that there's not adequate damage. Now, I'm not trying to be petty about this because I think that especially young children on roller skates or skateboards or bicycles, you know, are in some potential danger from this. And like, all I can say is, I mean, if one single child were to fracture their skull on account of surfaces on the sidewalk or road that haven't been repaired, you know, that would start to look like their failure to repair is of a criminal nature.
Let me ask you this. Are you a man who sleeps outside?
Yes.
How are you doing with that? Any hassles from police?
No, I wouldn't call it hassles. You know, once in a while they roust you and make you move or something like that. But they're not outrageous, I don't think.
Recently, there was a Right to Sleep Summit held on the other side of town. People came from different places wanting to decriminalize at least these laws, and these laws that make it illegal for homeless people to sleep at night. Is that an important concern in Santa Cruz, or not so important a concern?
No, I think it's an important concern for sure. I mean, it's not just Santa Cruz, it's the whole world, really. I saw an article about Japan. I mean, there's huge unemployment in Japan, and there's like people lining up at shelters in Japan, just as there is in any of American cities. You know, it's really a worldwide phenomenon where you have industrial economies that are not able to continue with the kind of growth that they've had in the past, and therefore a lot of people disenfranchised and not having jobs and unable to pay exorbitant rents, you know. I mean, I saw, since I've been in California, since like the early 70s, I've seen rents triple, you know.
Oh, more, for that matter.
And I don't think the price of nails and of wood and of plaster has tripled, you know.
You have no sympathy for our landlords, Ernie. Mayor Crone is a landlord.
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact, because I don't think they're the source of, the landlord isn't the source of the increase. It's higher up than the landlord. The landlord is also somebody who's just trying to operate within the economy. But I mean, at some point, if you go high enough in the economy, you reach decision makers who then can be considered responsible. I suppose, like in the real estate industry itself, there's people that are setting prices. But I know how these things work. I even know that the price of houses, even when they're not selling, are artificially kept high by the fact that they, even though they sell the houses for less, they have manipulations where it makes like they sold the house for more so that it doesn't like erode the price of the houses. In any case, like I say, we have an Alice in Wonderland situation here where there are no costs of house construction have been responsible for the tripling of rents within 20 years.
More than tripling. I mean, it's been doubling within the last decade for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe within the last 5 years.
Okay, well,
you know, but yeah.
Even more so then, yeah.
Well,
so
we're talking with Ernie, who's a musician, a writer, and a man who with a shopping cart.
Well, I don't really call this a shopping cart, to tell you the truth.
What is this?
This is more like a mobile home.
Is this sort of a low-end mobile home?
Yeah, it's bottom end.
It certainly it says at the end of this, Tombstone Oven Rising Crest. You got your own advertisements on the side here.
Not mine, but I think it's so oddball that I didn't let anybody remove it.
No hassles from police saying get the shopping cart back to Yak Yak?
No, I mean, I think that there's a certain sanity in this respect, because if they were to pay policemen salaries to go around policing shopping carts, then they might not be considered like really worth their weight.
Watch out for Officer Perry. He was doing that big time in 1997. Thank you, Ernie.
All right.
Crime, no sitting down.
well, you can sit, but don't try to sit on a bench, apparently. That's the new motto of the Parks and Rec Downtown Association / Redevelopment Agency multi-headed cerebrous beast that is devouring public spaces for all those who don't have their credit cards at the ready in Santa Cruz. In the studio with me is the notorious, or perhaps little known, who knows, Chris Fredrickson. Hey, Chris, belly up to the mic and see if we can actually hear you on the ear.
Can you hear me?
I think so. Say something else.
Like what?
Oh, a little louder.
Like, how about, like, the Constitution of the United States or something like that? How's that?
That's getting better. I think, I mean,
getting better.
Also helped to put up the levels.
We should put new covers on these mics. They're kind of disgusting to kiss up to.
Well, you got to kiss up to some pretty disgusting kinds of things in this town.
That's true.
Good.
Usually I have a choice about it, though.
It's true. Well, we're going to have to demand that the V-Man and other fine techies get busy and start, you know. Otherwise, I may have to make a complaint with the appropriate federal agency. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, in case you have forgotten, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norse. With me, Chris Fredrickson, attorney for Camp Paradise, former graduate of Camp Paradise, big-time baseball fan, and looks like we got a call coming in, Chris, even before you have begun to speak. You might want to listen in on this.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
What'd you say about me?
I wasn't talking about you, buddy.
I heard my name.
What? When?
Just a minute ago.
Oh, the V-Man, yes. We were attacking you for inferior and shoddy equipment in the studio.
Oh, that's all my fault, right?
Yes,
disgusting.
Of course.